You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you. And I'm looking out and we have some mist and fog coming off the ocean through the big band of evergreen trees and across the botanical gardens to where I am, 17 floors up. But I like when the fog comes and goes.
Well, take a look at some of the headlines that caught your eye today. A claim, artificial intelligence can improve climate models.
Yeah, boy, that's really stretching both the claims about AI and the stretching the story about climate hysteria. It's anyways, it's a good one to have.
Handy for hurricane season. They're always trying to predict where the hurricane's going to go and where they're going to come from.
Right. When you get one going, there's nothing you can do about it. And then this big firestorm down in Los Angeles area, that's tied to an unrelenting Santa Ana, which is a breeze that comes out of the hot desert areas and straight out on the very dry and very hot and unrelenting. And it has got the fire going in large parts of the city of Los Angeles.
Yeah, 160K, 100-mile-an-hour winds. Aircraft they can fly in it, but they can't drop the water accurately. It just blows away before it hits the ground. Much like the fire that hit Maui, where had 60-mile-an-hour winds.
Yeah,
and it's a blowtorch.
It was winds that were unrelenting, so,
And fire breaks don't work because the flames just scoot straight across.
Yeah,
it's not even embers.
Firebrands that are blown by the leading winds, and then they come down on roofs of buildings or in areas that are not yet on fire. It's just a disaster. So,
and there's a claim global warming will cause an increase in crime. Is that because people get nasty when there's hot weather and well, they lose their patience?
You can do a little more work on that one.
From Bloomberg, European gas storage site depleted at fastest rate since 2018. Is that connected to Ukraine cutting off Russian natural gas pipelines at New Year?
Yeah, the northern Europeans just didn't look after getting their proper supplies really laid out. And they're vulnerable, and they should have been. I remember a couple of years ago when two leaders representing two northern countries in Europe came and met with Trudeau in Ottawa and begged with him to set up a compressed natural gas plant so they could deliver from Canada. And he says, oh, no, global warming, we have to be... we're going to raise the carbon tax. I mean, the guy's a kook. So anyways, it's too bad. And I think that the mania about climate and altering the climate is going to ease. I mean, it's being promoted now for 30 years, and the public's just going to take a look and say, hey, that's an old story now. That doesn't mean anything. So... I'm looking forward to that day.
Yeah, Germany came begging for LNG, and Canada offered hydrogen, which nobody uses right now.
Yeah. Hydrogen's hopeless. What you want is a high-density energy source. And, of course, really high density, is a nuclear reactor like the sun or one that you can build. And then the rest is sort of like hydrocarbon fuels, oil and gas and coal, they're good.
Saw a story where wind power supplied the majority of the UK's power last year, finally surpassing natural gas.
Oh, yeah, I imagine they might have had to push the numbers to get those ones, too. Yeah, yeah.
From Yahoo headline, China hurries to shore up sliding yuan and stock market.
Yeah, they want to drive both up, and it's a hopeless cause.
Is that because of their real estate situation?
Yeah, they've been in a crazy boom for a long time, and the boom ran out, and you're in the stages of a contraction.
Well, of course, their problem is they built what I call artificial cities and expected 600,000 to 1 million people to move into them, and they didn't.
Yeah.
And so these buildings sat empty for 20 years, and finally, without windows and proper ceiling of the facilities, weather got in, started to wreck them. So now they've had to implode them and I guess start again, but people aren't convinced that it's a good investment anymore.
Yeah, I think they're gaining some experience on that one. But the problem is you have experts at the top, and they are full of a single idea. And when they have the authority to impose it, they do some damage out there. So, you know.
Headline from Bloomberg, record number Argentina bond sales and a slew of first-time buyers. Argentina's inflation is incredible.
Yeah.
Sometimes running at 120%. And these bonds have been, the last time I looked at this story, and I'll check here in a moment, but they're offering something like 43%, which sounds like a good return. But if inflation's at 120%.
Yeah, no, it is. They're crazy. Policymakers are all to think that wonders can be obtained by ingesting credit. Now, what ingesting credit does is depreciate the currency. So they think that wonderful things can be accomplished by depreciating the currency. And that's where you got, well, when the Fed started at Christmas 1913, the people behind it looked around and they knew that a credit crisis preceded a recession. So they invented the idea of lender of last resort, and that they would come in and provide the credit and prevent the credit crisis, therefore there'd be no more recessions. And there's been 18 cyclical recessions since the Fed was set up to prevent recessions. So, you know, in most disciplines, only one failure is enough to trash an hypothesis. But this thing now has been going forever, but somewhere the public are going to realize that central banking really is a nonsense that has to be curbed. Now, you can't get rid of a central bank, I think, but what you can do is you go to a gold convertibility, and it limits their ability to be reckless. So it'll be interesting to watch. Can you imagine the U.S. going on to a gold standard?
Now, Turkey has the highest 10-year bond percentage at 27.38, which sounds pretty high. But again, Turkey, very high inflation. Argentina on a 30-day bond will give you 36.59%.
Yeah.
Back in November, it was 40.45%.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah, except, again, their inflation, 80 to 120%.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Now we have a headline here from Zhang Zhao. Why deflation is good for the economy, is it, Bob?
That's from Zero Hedge.
Okay, Zero Hedge. I'm sorry. Hedge. Yeah.
Why deflation is good for the economy? That's a bit of a naive headline. You get a long business expansion, then you go into a dramatic war and dramatic price inflation because they really depreciate the currency to fund the war, and then you have crack after that one where bang, it comes down. So then you have a sharp hit of deflation, and then you're going to go way back to where there was no fiddling around, and that was essentially in the 1800s, where you then had the Great Depression that ran from 1845 in there to 1895, and that was the case. You had this unrelenting period when each business cycle recovery was weak and every recession was severe. So if you take a look at something like in England, which was the senior economy then, you had years ago stumbled on an index of farm prices, farmland values each year, and from 1873 was the bubble boom, and 1895 was the depression bottom, and that index of farm prices was down virtually every year on the whole 20-year contraction. So, yeah, and that then could be said to be a period of deflation, but they're not friendly. Inflation is not friendly. It's quite debilitating. And then you go into a post-bubble deflation, which are weaker prices and the problems there. So the perfect world of no inflation and no deflation doesn't exist very often. It comes in, lasts briefly, everybody thinks it's great, and then followed yet by some other unpleasant action. So, yeah.
We'll have more with Bob Hoy right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're chatting with Bob Hoy. Headline from Bloomberg: AI funding hit a record $97 billion in 2024.
Yep. That's the big boom item. AI is wonderful, and we're going to throw money at it. Now, there was a mighty whack in the stock market in the middle of December. This was the whack in the market in the middle of December. Dow tanks by 1,100 points, posts the first 10-day losing streak since 1974. I mean, that is an event. Now, some of the headlines, they focused on the rebound and got, oh, wonderful rebound, got excited, but didn't put the magnitude of the hit in perspective. And earlier today, the S&P has taken out the low set with that hit, which means you got a downtrend in the stock market. And we've been in a strong uptrend, so it's tempting to say that the bull market by this measure is over, and bull markets are always followed by bear markets.
Also, we found out from our friend of the show, Mike Swanson, that more money is now invested in Bitcoin than in gold ETFs in North America.
Oh, isn't that interesting? Yeah. Well, it's been quite the rage. I would sooner own the gold than the Bitcoin, I'll tell you.
What's happening with the gold juniors you've been keeping an eye on?
Oh, yeah. We got onto those a year ago in December and made a list. I think it was 11 junior gold stocks. And I had, many years ago, in 1996, I'd put together a list of 5 junior gold stocks. And one of them turned out to be Arequipa, who made an important discovery. The stock went from pennies to $30, and it was taken over at a $1.1 billion market cap. So this is where, in the exploration side, if you make a discovery, the stock really moves. But if you have our little portfolio of 11 junior gold, you're kind of spreading the risk a little. And the stocks on when you get the rally in the gold sector, the juniors are likely to out rally the seniors, and also you have the possibility of within a group of junior stocks the chance maybe of making a major discovery. So this is where, if you're lucky, the action could become fabulous in one of these junior gold stocks. And, we've got the list, and people who are interested in it, it's a business-type investment to say, hey, I want to be in the sector, and we'll have 10 or 11 junior golds, and let's go for them. So you can inquire, and we'd be glad to send you the list of junior golds.
Would that be to chartsandmarkets.com?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just taking a look at a little research in Argentina. Apparently, you can comfortably retire there on $1,200 to $1,500 a month as an individual or $2,000 to $2,500 per month as a couple.
Ooh. Yeah, so if you've got a nice little U.S. income, $2,000 a month, and you can live there very pleasantly. Yeah.
But you do face a lot of inflation.
You do, but if you've got your income coming in U.S. dollars, That's a good place to be.
Thanks again, Bob.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you. Let's look forward to next week, okay?
My guest has been Bob Hoy, Chief Investment Strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.